Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nothing to worry about, America. We're doing just fine.
What we're calling for is a petition to repeal the First Amendment. Just get rid of it. Blow it up. Get rid of it.
Just as a reminder, the First Amendment protects the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, and, oh yeah, freedom of petition.
So what we're calling for is to repeal the First Amendment.
I think this is fantastic.
Okay.
I absolutely agree.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Love it.
Thank you.
I'll sign it for you guys.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate what you're trying to do.
I think the Constitution should be one big safe space, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, no.
It should not be protected
no,
speech.
Yeah, I totally agree with where you're at.
Because I think it's a living, breathing document, the Constitution.
Yeah,
it was literally not written in stone.
Yeah.
And the guys who wrote it, they were slave owners.
Yeah.
What do they know about how we live today? So we want to change. Because you should.
By the way, in case you're wondering from whence this little video comes,
I picked the wrong day to quit sniffing.
Yale.
Be exposed to what you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know? That's not right. But, I mean, like, making fun of people is just not cool.
That's right.
It should be protected. Thanks a lot.
Great.
I appreciate that. Because, you know what? Microaggressions should not be protected. And making fun of people is not cool. And, you know.
I agree.
I mean,
thank
you very much.
Interesting. So good for you. That's great.
Thank you. I appreciate
good.
It.
Good.
Take care.
I like what you're doing.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Don't be in too big of a panic, however. It took him all of 60 minutes to get 50 signatures. This is Wretched Radio. That was Ami, a guy named Ami, A-M-I, who goes out in the streets, does some man-on-the-street stuff, kind of a Jesse Waters sort of affair. That was at Yale. Don't forget the school that was begun for the propagation of the gospel to the American native. They weren't Americans yet, but the point is, it was to send preachers. Now, they'd like to shut down the right of preachers to say whatever they would like to, which means, something like this probably wouldn't be allowed anymore.
Everybody knows the Christmas story, right? It's about shepherds and wise men and angels and a manger and Bethlehem and a baby and Joseph and Mary. That's the part everybody knows, but that's not the real story.
Bum, bum, bum.
Everything begins when God creates the universe. And He did that in 6 days. 6 24-hour days He created everything. On the seventh day He rested, having said, "It's good." In fact, it was perfect. And that included the creation of Adam and Eve. It was perfect. It wasn't very long, however, until sin entered the world. And it entered in the garden when Eve was tempted and Adam followed her temptation. The whole human race catapulted into sin. And by the third chapter of Genesis, the human race is cursed. And the animal kingdom is cursed. And the creation is cursed. And the universe is cursed. And sin dominates. What's God going to do to redeem His creation? The world needs a Savior. There has to be somebody who can come to rescue man from his sin. And that somebody is the Son of God who's born in Bethlehem at Christmas. He didn't come just to be born. He didn't come just to live a perfect life. He was born not like anybody else had ever been born. He was born of a virgin because He was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit without a human father, divine miracle. He lived an absolutely sinless life. The Bible says He was wholly harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. He lived a perfect life. There had to be more than that. What good would His perfect life do for anybody else? He had to die. Why did He have to die if He lived a perfect life? because God selected him to be the substitutionary sacrifice for all who would ever believe through all of human history. That is the right understanding of Christmas. A child born to die. The shadow of the cross looms over the manger. And when you understand that, you understand Christmas. And oh, by the way, after he was crucified, and after he received the full judgment for all the sins of all who would ever believe, God raised him from the dead to vindicate and validate the efficacy, the efficiency of his sacrifice. And then God raised him to glory, where he sat down at the right hand of God and was given a name above every name, which is the name Lord. Jesus Christ is exalted because his work was finished. And because of what he did, all who believe receive eternal life. Call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
But if the kiddos at Yale have their way, that would be something that people can't utter. Unbelievable. Apparently at Yale they have a desire to become like North Korea. A brand new book being reviewed at Christian Headlines of a fellow who used to live in North Korea, but he escaped. Fascinating story. It's called Under the Same Sky. Apparently people in North Korea, they have enough knowledge to know you can escape North Korea if you can get into China, just to the north of North Korea. But there's a little bit of a wrinkle. The problem is the Chinese can recognize North Koreans because, well, they're pretty much emaciated. After being on the lam, running away, escaping to the north, and they're probably starving anyway, it's not hard to be spotted and to get into a whole lot of trouble. So what is the advice for people in North Korea who are trying to escape to China? Find a Christian church. And that is exactly what Joseph Kim did. His experience living in North Korea, eventual escape. It is talked about, well, it's basically what the book is about, Under the Same Sky. Summary? Life in North Korea. Extremely difficult, if not impossible. A famine swept through North Korea beginning in 1994, and starvation is widespread. I did not know that. Did you? Hunger is such a severe problem that cannibalism occurs in some cases. That's hungry. I mean, that's more than Barack Obama, I'll eat a dog hungry. I had no idea, amongst other things, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, no rights like we have in this country. They're starving to boot. Detention camps are especially terrible places. The North Korean Department of Youth runs detention camps for anyone between the ages of 14 and 28. Well, it's nice to know, though, that the youth in North Korea have pretty much the same range that we do here in America. Ours is 31 for adolescents. It's only 28 in North Korea, but they're getting close. They're trying to be progressive. Crimes that can land a kid in detention camp include truancy, stealing, and a failure to properly honor North Korean leaders. Now, I know some theonomists might like that type of thing, but yikes! How's that for punishing the youth? Food is excessively scarce at detention camps, and beatings are common. He made it out of North Korea to safety. Many others are not so fortunate. Last night, I was chatting with my daughter. It was one of those kitchen conversations which are increasingly sweet. Don't know why that seems to be the place where it's later at night. You're hanging out with your... I used to have teenagers.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one left. Just one, but tick, tick, tick on that, too. And we were reminiscing. She spent 9 weeks with Ludi Creech and the ministry over in Ireland, where they actually witnessed to people. They actually evangelized, you know, doing missions, spreading the gospel, traveling around, going to fairs and festivals, doing open air in Belfast, or Dublin, I guess, is where they would do it. And she was talking about how she thinks about it's been almost a year, well, it's been over a year now since she returned. Two sisters went together. And I said, what's your takeaway from all of that? And she said, you know, it's funny, she said, but I think about that trip every day. And she said, as great as it was and as beneficial as it was and the great memory, she said, wow, do I love America. And I've never... Europe is charming, and it's a great place to go. And if you go to Italy, good food. Ireland, not so much. But you go to Italy, and, oh, the architecture, and, oh, the art, and, oh, it's so cool. But you come home to America, and it's like, oh. And yet right now, with the movement on university campuses like Yale, the desire to start shutting down basic rights that people bled and died for... The reason that this is of interest to me is because this is where this is going, the direction that this is headed. We, as Christians, are the greatest microaggressors, period. And it will not be long before that sort of nonsensical thinking is aimed at us. By the way, hold on one second.
All right. Wait here.
Speaking of Italy, I had this on the floor.
Didn't you go horse riding with Sting once there?
You know, please, you make it sound so...
I mean, he was in Italy riding a horse. You were in Italy.
Well, I don't know if he was riding a horse at the time, but I was riding a horse by his estate. Let me tell you something. The Sting lives large.
Well, when you got the cash.
I don't know what his carbon footprint is. By the way, Sting's son thinks he's a girl.
Sting Jr. thinks he's a Stingette?
Okey-dokey. Which leads us back to Italy, actually. So I'm reading this letter. I met Johnny and his wife. I think they had one child at the time, a number of years ago. They were in Atlanta, and I met them at somebody's house. And for some reason, I've kept in touch a little bit, and I get his newsletters. He's a missionary in Italy and southern Italy, down Sicily way. They have an Italian theological seminary. By the way, Italy, the graveyard of evangelical missionaries. It's very hard in Italy. And I've kept touch with him, and for some reason, I love hearing from them, and I was reading their Christmas update. On the church side of things, no. Oh, on the family side of things. Now, this is HQ for the Roman Catholic Church. We have had an interesting fall, dealing with difficult teachers, tons of homework, and issues we would never have expected to face with our 7- and 9-year-olds. The potential for gender-neutral and homosexual instruction at the elementary school level. This, in a Roman Catholic country, the seat of Catholicism. Wow. And it got me to thinking, how did this happen so fast? And then I don't even know that that's the right question. Did it? It's been percolating for, let's call it 20 years, 25, 30, well, since, that's 70, let's call it. So it's been going on for a while, but this is staggering. In Roman Catholic Italy, they're indoctrinating 7-year-olds. Say you think you're a girl, but if you think you're a boy, no problem. Homosexual instruction? Gender-neutral instruction in Italy? It seems to me we've either flipped a switch and we've entered into a new realm, or maybe it's just postmodernism. It's just, okay, it shifted gears. 1989, we became postmodern officially. And we've shifted gears, and boom, now we're in warp speed. We're just zipping along, and look out. Or there was an event, or a dam broke that allowed this, or whatever it is, it sure did not take long. And then I thought to myself, well, if a lot of the reports coming out of the Vatican are accurate, why would we think that Italy is any more Roman Catholic than, say, America? It's nominal. It isn't America, anyway, overall. And in Italy, where the reports coming out of the Vatican, Savonarola would be embarrassed about what was going on. So why would we think that this type of thing wouldn't be happening? It's going on everywhere around the globe. What a stunning change of events. I don't know if in history we've ever seen anything that quick. Can you recall an event? It's usually a process. And back then it took long. Maybe it's because of technology. Maybe that's the ticket. Maybe that's the reason. Because it could just spread so much faster than it used to. Denny Burke quoting Carl Truman. The progressives and their transgender revolution that they've unleashed. It is moving at an unprecedented pace. And Carl Truman rightly asked the question, how are you going to put the brakes on this? You recall, we shared with you some of the sound of a man who's 52, 53 years old, seven kids. He thinks he's a six-year-old girl, so now he's acting and dressing like her. It's unbelievable. Carl Truman. So when it comes to transgender people mewling about this fellow, that he's trivializing their cause, let me put this as simply and gently as I can. When you decide that categories of identity are merely psychological, and that reality is constituted by language, you consequently have neither the right nor the ability to call a halt to the Promethean process which you have unleashed just because some of the results prove to be distasteful to you and unhelpful to your political cause. Indeed, whining like a bunch of six-year-old girls is not going to help you at this point. And he's spot on. He's exactly, they can't put the brakes on this. And as I listen to presidential candidates and the pontificators say, what candidate can save this country? No man, no politician, only a great move of God. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, now that you've got some extra free time because you no longer patronize that satanic Starbucks coffee shop, we hope you'll visit the Wretched Store for Christmas. Gifts for your family, friends, neighbors, whether saved or not. Maybe something for you to help you go a little bit deeper or for Sunday school. Whatever it happens to be, please remember your purchases for Christmas help keep us on the air for the new year. So thank you for that, and please visit the Wretched Store at WretchedRadio.com.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Are you familiar with the old saying, it's who you know that counts? Well, that refers to the idea that you can get what you want as long as you know the right people. As incredible as it seems, two of Jesus' closest disciples, James and John, tried to use their family connections with Jesus to get seats next to him in his kingdom. And they did this right after Christ predicted his imminent persecution and death. But they never heard it. They were too preoccupied with their own agenda. What about you? Do you try to take advantage of other believers to further your own agenda? If you do, have you forgotten what Jesus said? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You see, true greatness comes only when you humbly obey the Lord.
Why did Hitler believe it was right to exterminate those he believed were inferior? Why does America still practice eugenics? Could it be a natural extension of social Darwinism? Doctors David Berlinski, John West, and Richard Weikart ask and answer the question, what hath Darwin wrought? It's a tough answer, but it's an answer every Christian should hear. What hath Darwin wrought? At WretchedRadio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio.
This is Bodie Balcom.
Do you love the church? Or do you merely endure all of these people around you so that you can get what you need out of the service? Do you love the church? Or does this just happen to be the place that does things the way that you like things done so that after you've finished all of your shopping, you've decided to land here for a while, that is, until you get upset or find a better deal? Do you love the church? Do you see her as the blood-bought bride of Jesus Christ? Or are we merely here to fit into your agenda? Do you love the church?
How do we as Christians confront our culture with a message that is offensive without being personally offensive? Prepare to go face to face with our lost and confused culture. Join Todd as he dares to proclaim the gospel at Georgia Tech, the University of Georgia, and the Minnesota State Fair. Speaking the truth in love is a delicate balance, so get your copy of Face to Face at WretchedRadio.com today. Remember, your purchase helps us proclaim amazing grace. Thank you.
Yeah. God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
With all due respect to the Donald, it's Ukraine, not the Ukraine. This is Wretched Radio. How do I know such important information? Frankly, I wouldn't have unless I visited Ukraine a number of years ago, where I discovered it's not the Wisconsin, it's not the Las Vegas, and it's not the Ukraine, it's Ukraine. And I had a chance to visit that lovely country a number of years ago to do a tour of the Tomorrow Clubs, as many of you know, because you sponsor a lot of the Tomorrow Clubs. The Martys, who started the amazing Tomorrow Clubs ministries, have hundreds of kids meeting groups sprinkled not just throughout Ukraine, but also throughout the Romania and the Moldova, and they are growing like wildfire. And at this time of year, we thought you'd like to hear a little update as to how this amazing ministry is doing. Hello, Martys. How are we today?
Doing great, Todd. Thanks. Yeah. Good to be here.
What was that delay? Suddenly you get all... Since when are you too shy about talking? What was that all about?
I wasn't sure who was going to go first, but I've been just dying to get over here and get on the radio and thank the audience, the Wretched Radio listeners, for their support and their prayers for the Tomorrow Clubs. Paul and I have just been literally sitting at our desks, weeping tears of joy of how God is providing for the ministry through all of you beautiful people out there. Thank you so much for helping us to reach the kids for Jesus. It's just a miracle, really.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something. This turned out to be a more spectacular relationship than I ever imagined. It was, how many years ago did you guys ask me to come over to Ukraine? You were just doing your thing. We were doing our thing. That was seven years ago?
I would
seven
say,
or 8 years
yeah,
ago,
I would
right
say seven.
There.
Yeah, we had no idea that this was going to happen. And wretched people really decided we like what the Martys are doing with the Tomorrow Clubs. And hundreds of people are now supporting weekly kids meeting groups in places like Ukraine and also Romania and Moldova and Georgia. And now you were just in India? What's going on there?
Well,
you
actually,
did it again!
You know,
what is with you two?
Actually, Paul looked at me. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's his beard that's causing the delay. Is that just a rule now that evangelicals need to have facial hair?
Oh, not, dear.
Not all the women. That's it.
But apparently the trend now is you got to have a beard. It's thrown off your timing,
Marty.
Oh, man. What's going on in India?
We're really praying about India right now. It's really more than what we can handle at this moment with all the growth in Eastern Europe and now in 9 countries there. We're really taking it slow. With India, there's several people that would like to have Tomorrow Clubs, not only in India, but Pakistan, Africa. And we're just really, like, taking it one step at a time and really praying that we don't get ahead of ourselves, because there's
right.
so many kids there, and there's other ministries that are doing wonderful things to help children. And we're really working on some partnerships in, you know, working with some other ministries in those bigger countries where there's so many thousands of kids that it's almost more than we could handle, but not more than God can handle.
That's right.
No, it's not, but some people might hear that and go, well, that doesn't seem to make sense. If there's people who want you there, just go there. It's not quite that easy.
Yeah.
From a managerial standpoint, having good relationships with local churches,
yes.
but then also, quite honestly, funding. You got to pay for
yes.
the stuff because it doesn't get done for free.
Yeah, you need
All right,
to build
so
a foundation.
Said, yeah, 9 countries right now in Eastern Europe. Now, I rattled off Moldova, Romania, Ukraine, Georgia. What am I missing?
Hungary, Belarus,
Russia, Armenia.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Armenia.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Bosnia.
Okay.
And Bosnia is
the
newest
one.
Yep.
I wish you'd send an email on occasion and keep me up on these things, not that I need to know every detail. You've been busy little Martys, haven't you, traveling all over Eastern Europe? All right, so now you were over there about a month ago. If you would, whatever country you'd like to pick, whatever region you'd like to tell us about, give us a little update on that.
Well, yeah, Todd, we
That's
had...
That's the third time!
No, You know, I guess we got to get into sync here. But
yeah, your timing is, you haven't your jet lag. We'll just blame it on the jet lag. Still, you're suffering a little bit from that.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, we had the opportunity to visit a few of the programs last summer. We spent most of the time in the summer in Ukraine, but as Cindy mentioned, we also had a chance for the first time to visit Bosnia. And you know, there's so many parts of the world that are so dark, and that is one of them. It's a Muslim country, very predominant. There's a lot of extremists there, and you know, we found out amazingly the missionary that we're working with there, who's going to be helping to, you know, make some inroads into that difficult, into the difficult environment there, has been, he's been working there 14 years. I mean, he was telling us stories of how difficult it was and how it's a place where once, like after the war started, there was a lot of people helping and they pretty much disappeared. They said, oh, you know, it's too hard to work here. We're going to go somewhere else where it's easier. Just to give an example, we work a lot with Baptist churches in Bosnia. There is two Baptist churches.
Two.
There's two. Yeah. There's one in the capital, and there's one in another city.
Now, Bosnia, I mean, it's a country, obviously. It's as big as maybe Iowa. I mean, we're not talking like a huge landmass, but still, two Baptist churches.
Yeah, and there's 5 million people.
That's plenty of folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, down south, for 5 million people in the south, in the Bible Belt, there would be probably a couple hundred thousand Baptist churches here, but there are two of them.
You know, to be fair, there's other denominations working there too, but, you know,
what about, Paul, if I could, though, because I remember this in Ukraine, Jehovah's Witnesses are very busy in Ukraine. Are they at work in Bosnia too?
Well, we didn't hear that they are. I mean, they...
All right, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, we didn't hear that they're actually working. I'm sure that there's a percentage because they're everywhere, but nothing like Ukraine. Definitely.
All right, that's good news. All right, so if it's an Islamic country.
Yes.
I would imagine that it's not just difficult doing ministry, it's downright dangerous doing ministry there.
In parts of the country, it is downright dangerous. I think you could, you know, you could lose your life trying to do ministry there.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, we've actually got a summer camp planned there. We've got a team of 10 people already planning to go. We'll fly into Sarajevo. And we've actually got a couple spots left, but some of them are Wretched Radio listeners that are going in next July. We're going by faith, and we know that the Holy Spirit will be with us. And we're excited to reach lots of kids in that country.
What we're excited about is that what we've seen in so many of the places that we work there is that, you know, it's really difficult to work with the adults. It's not nearly as difficult to work with the kids. And that's the inroads in. And, you know, we've seen that in so many of the communities that we work where there's these barriers that, you know, the adults won't go near the evangelical churches. But they'll let their kids go to something kind of neutral. And that's where the Tomorrow Clubs come in. And that's our prayer in Bosnia that will also see a similar thing. In fact, the couple that's working there right now, that's how they're starting. They've gone to some kind of outlying villages, and they've gathered groups of kids, and the parents are excited about it, and the parents are even coming to some of the meetings. So
now, just so everybody understands the method of the madness here, when you say kind of neutral, it's not that you're suddenly not Christian anymore.
That's exactly right. And by neutral, what I meant is that, you know, it's not seen as a church. You know, we're seen as something that, oh, okay, well, that, you know, that's just a fun thing for the kids to go to in the beginning. And we do preach the gospel from the very beginning.
Yeah, even in the Bible camps, the gospel is clearly presented from that.
All right, well. I would expect nothing less from you two, so that doesn't shock me. Now, I would imagine the growth, though, in a place like Bosnia, when you're dealing with Muslims, it's hard for us to get this. Maybe if you're a Mormon in America, you understand the cost of turning your back to your faith and to turning your back toward your family and business relationships. I mean, you are shunned. That's very true in a place like Bosnia. I would imagine the sledding is very hard there.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. And as I'm sure you've heard from other people that work in the Islamic environment, you know, you don't expect the kind of results that you do in other places just because of those difficulties. But but still, you know, the gospel's powerful. You know, it reaches levels of, you know, of the human condition that nothing else can. So
Yeah, you know, not a, you know, I was. It's funny because I was thinking this morning is all of the dispersed Christians right now, whether it's Syria, no matter anywhere in the Middle East, Christians are just disappearing. They're fleeing for their lives, and you have to look at it understanding sovereignty. God is rewriting maps. He's redrawing countries over there and where people are.
Yes.
And so to not be in the game because it's hard, I think is a mistake. So I think it's terrific that you're going into a place because who knows what God might do in a place like Bosnia.
Yeah, and again, too, I think, you know, even if seeds are planted, if, you know, even if you if we don't see the full fruit, you know, somewhere that seed is growing and somewhere in the future, especially when you plant it in the hearts of kids because they, you know, they've got their whole lifetime for it to mature. And you know, I think we, you know, we sometimes make a mistake saying, well, you know, we're not seeing these kids or these families come immediately to faith, but if they hear the gospel, the seed is there. And it, you know, and we all know that the Holy Spirit can work wonders.
We are having a little chit-chat at the end of the year here with our good friends, the Martys, who are the founders of the Tomorrow Clubs. Many, many, many wretched people sponsor them. Every single week, the kids come together in places like Bosnia to hear the gospel. They hear Bible verses. They're asked to memorize Bible. They sing Christian songs, and they are introduced to Christian people, and it's making a humongous difference. There are now hundreds of Tomorrow Clubs sprinkled throughout very poor places and very difficult places for people to do ministry. Our thanks to those people who are sponsoring clubs. If you'd like to learn more about how you might sponsor a Tomorrow Club, it's a great thing for you and your family to do. Trust me, tomorrowclubs.org, tomorrowclubs.org. All right, Martys, as is always the case, you know what we love to hear from you, correct?
Yes.
What do we love to hear from you?
Stories.
We love to hear we do love to hear stories. All right, can you give us one quick about a child or a club that comes to mind?
As we said earlier, we visited some clubs and some of the places that we work this summer, and every time we do that, it's another amazing experience, and we run into things that we don't expect. We met this girl in a very small town, not too far from the capital of Ukraine, Kyiv, where there is a Tomorrow Club. And before I even go into the story, I think it would be good to remind the listeners that the kinds of people and the kinds of environment that we're working in is hard for us, I think, to even visualize as Americans. Just for example, in a Tomorrow Club, it's very common to see a child who comes from a home with only one parent, or who lives with a grandparent, or maybe no parents, as in Moldova. They're often physically abused. They see alcoholism as a normal part of life many times, and they have little or no hope for the future, and very many of them have just never heard the name of Jesus. You know, this was the case in this village that we visited, but, you know, we just started a conversation with a young lady. Her name was Anya, 13-year-old girl, and, I mean, just looking at her, you'd say, okay, there's a normal 13-year-old, pretty young girl, and we just asked her, you know, what does the Tomorrow Club mean to you? And what she said was that, you know, it's really changed her life. And first of all, the church in that village started from a Tomorrow Club. There was no church whatsoever. A missionary came, he started a Tomorrow Club, it was about 10 years ago, and now there's a church that's an established part of the community that started from the Tomorrow Club, and this is the club that she went to. Well, this young girl, Anya, told us that her situation at home was very difficult. You know, a lot like I described earlier, her parents...
Paul, hold on one second. Hold on one second. You know what we have to do right now, don't you?
Take a break.
Do a commercial for the Tomorrow Club, and I want to hear Anya's story.
All right.
But just hold it right there. We will pick it up with Paul Marty, Cindy Marty, who are in studio with us. Back from Eastern Europe, building the Tomorrow Clubs one at a time. And wow, are we seeing fruit there thanks to you. If you'd like to learn more about the Tomorrow Clubs, visit tomorrowclubs.org. And when we come back, we will hear the story of Anya as always. It is amazing what God is doing outside of America. Next on Wretched Radio. Would you please take a moment and visit tomorrowclubs.org so you can see the pictures that I am presently staring at so that your heart can be broken too? Children, beautiful brown-eyed children being raised in such poor circumstances. These are kids that nobody is trying to reach but the Tomorrow Clubs. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org and consider becoming a Tomorrow Club sponsor so that these children can hear the gospel? Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
Days Before the Sun. This is Ken Ham, who's enjoying our Christmastown events at the Creation Museum. God's Word clearly states that God made everything in six literal 24-hour days. But Genesis also says that God didn't create the sun until day four. So how were there days before the sun? Well, actually, you don't need the sun for there to be a day and night. All you need is a light source plus a rotating earth. And according to Genesis, God created light and our planet Earth on day one. Now, we're not told where the light came from. God created the sun and stars on day four as the light bearers from day four onwards. I believe God left the creation of the sun to day four to emphasize where to worship the one who made the sun, not worship the sun as many pagan cultures do.
Do you have more questions about Genesis and our origins? Visit our faith-affirming website at answersingenesis.org. You'll be encouraged at answersingenesis.org.
It never seems to stop people attacking the New Testament. They say the Bible's based on myths, or it's got tons of errors, contradictions. It's not the same as the New Testament that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, Dr. James White will answer all of those accusations and more in New Testament Reliability. This DVD makes it clear you can trust your Bible. Get your copy of New Testament Reliability today at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
So when the world says, just close your Bible, we don't want to hear from that dusty old thing. Those are just old guys who weren't very smart in the first place. So zip it with your Bible. That's the last thing we should do.
Absolutely. No, we our conscience and our heart is bound to the Word of God. In fact, His law is written upon the tablet of our hearts, Scripture says. And so we are obligated to follow the authority of Scripture for our lives, regardless of what the world has to say.
But when the world says, well, who are you to say so? Our response should be, we're just telling you what God says. So if we don't understand, first and foremost, the inspiration, that it's the revealed Word of God, it really doesn't have authority. So
correct.
It's crucial that we've established this is the Word of God.
You can get Drive-By Theology and all of our Drive-By resources at wretchedradio.com. Sharing your faith with others is scary. We get that. That's why there's Terrified 2, over 20 actual witness encounters with real people. Terrified 2 gives you the confidence you need as you watch Todd, who's not the sharpest bulb in the picnic basket, interact and respond to unbelievers' accusations and questions. No more excuses. Get equipped to share your faith. Get Terrified 2 at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Better than a Hallmark movie. Okay, I grant you that's not hard to do, but the point is, this is Wretched Radio. Love to hear the stories from Tomorrow Clubs, which are exploding over Eastern Europe. They are growing like wildfire there. So many clubs are being sponsored by you, where the kids come together every single week to hear the gospel. They sing Christian music. And oh, by the way, they hear the R word, repentance, which you don't hear a lot of in American churches. Kids are getting saved. Churches are growing from them. And even entire villages are being changed thanks to the diligent work of Paul and Cindy Marty, who are in studio with us. And thanks to you for supporting them, because hundreds of Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe are sponsored by you. If you would like to learn more, visit tomorrowclubs.org, tomorrowclubs.org. All right, Paul, where we left off, we were hearing the story of Anya outside of Ukraine. I could imagine probably a pretty small village like, well, most of them. no church, but thanks to a Tomorrow Club, a church actually springs out of a Tomorrow Club. Love that. And Anya's 13 years old, and you were asking her what sort of a difference it's made.
Yeah. Her situation at home was very difficult. Her parents were basically alcoholics, and you know, when they drank, they would often turn their anger on her. She was continually verbally abused, and often what she said was that she suffered many beatings and was always looking for a place to escape. And one of her classmates invited her to come to the Tomorrow Club in the church, and she was a little bit apprehensive, but her friend convinced her that, hey, this is fun, the people there are really nice, just come this one time. So she did, and when she did, she saw that this is something really different, and she felt welcomed. She saw that the kids were doing something meaningful, and the leaders were talking about God, and she had never heard the name of Jesus
ever.
Right.
This is the Orthodox Christianity is certainly not dead there. Well, it's dead, but my point is she's never even heard the name of Jesus.
There's no church in that town. It's a town of about 1,000 people. There was no church of any kind.
And
there.
That's common still.
Yeah.
Common in
Ukraine.
Yeah, I know it. You have to always remember that your understanding of how the world works is really informed by where you live. That's just foreign to me. What do you mean 1,000 people and there's no church?
Yeah.
That just seems like that's impossible.
Right.
Not in Ukraine.
Yeah.
All right, keep going with Anya, please.
So, she was excited. She got home, told her parents where she had been. They were furious. And there was a huge fight, and Anya said, boy, here, I thought I was really on to something. I come home, my parents are down on me. So there's no hope anywhere. So she was really upset. 13-year-old girl, lots of emotions. Grabbed a kitchen knife, went to her room, cut her wrists. And on top of that, when her mother came in and saw what she had done, and she obviously didn't die from it because she was there, but her mother just got more angry and said, listen, even if you cut off your head, I wouldn't care.
Oh.
So that's the kind of environment that the kids come from.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening after that is that things are not great, but Anya continued to come to the Tomorrow Club. She got a Bible that the leaders there, began to disciple her. And her basically, her life has turned around, and she began praying for her parents. And when we were there, she said, things are still pretty tough, but I'm seeing my parents soften. They're willing to listen to me. They're interested in what I'm telling them is happening at the club now. And their lives are improving just from hearing this from her. This had just been a few months earlier, Todd. So you can see that, her visit to the Tomorrow Club really had changed her life. I mean, she now has hope. Again, things are still not easy, but they're on the right track.
One can only imagine how many Anyas there are with parents who don't care if their own kids kill themselves. Paul, I know that I hate to say it, but this is not a one-off story.
Oh, no.
This is,
well, no.
And we truly believe that this is why the Tomorrow Clubs exist, because of those kids out there just like Anya, those forgotten kids in those little tiny villages where they're so poor, and it's such a hopeless situation, and many, many of them still don't have a church at all. But then the Tomorrow Clubs come in, and they open up, and they start inviting these kids in, and they find hope in Jesus Christ. It's just the most beautiful thing I've literally ever seen in my life. It's totally the hand of God.
And this is, and two, this is the type of thing to be praying for. If you wonder, okay, how do I pray for people overseas? Pray for kids like Anya,
mm-hmm.
and that mom and dad would get saved, because you guys have been with us for too long. I know you might be back with us in a half a year. And we get an update on Anya, and guess who got saved?
Mm.
Mom and Dad.
Yeah, that's yes. right.
That's not uncommon, is
oh,
it?
Oh, no, that happens all the time. And, the parents are drawn by when they see the changes in their children's lives. This is what draws them to come to the churches.
Yeah.
And that's what grows the churches in those villages and in the towns.
Yeah, the kids are the doorway into the families. Yeah. We've seen that over and over again. That,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that their the parents' hearts open as they see the transforming power of the gospel at work in their
Praise
children's
God.
Lives.
Praise God.
Now, if you would be so kind, take me to the region in Hungary where it borders on Romania, where we hear about the Roma people so often. I've just seen some videos. Again, and not, these kids with their chocolate eyes. They're beautiful children. And the dark hair, so striking. And most of them so dirty. I mean, it's like, as a parent, it's like, okay, jump into the tub. You just what you want to scrub them, get them cleaned up, and put them into some clean clothes. These Roma kids that are in that region of Romania and Hungary, tell me what's going on in that region.
Yeah, well, we've just recently began working in that region, Todd, and like you say, you know, those kids, you know, it's a whole nother world, again, hard for us to imagine because their lives are so chaotic. I think that culture, the thing that we've seen with them is that, you know, basically there's just no order in their lives at all. They're, you know, they just are, they just live in chaos. And I think, again, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when they start to, when we've been able to come in and you know, not only bring the hope of the gospel to them, but also give them some structure and say, and kind of helping them to see that, you know, if you will, you know, regularly do this or that, or, you know, even, I guess what I'm trying to say is we've been able to help them in some practical ways as too. And
well,
the clubs played a big part in that.
You said chaos for a kid. That is again, something in the West I don't think we grasp, because most of the homes right now that are listening, you get up at a certain time in the morning, you have breakfast, maybe you do your family devotion, you go off to school, you come home, and there's just a little bit of pattern to the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say chaos, maybe to help people understand, with these Roma, also known as the Gypsy people, what's so chaotic about their lives?
Well,
one thing that comes to my mind is the parents don't care whether the children go to school or not. Like, if there happens to be a school available, they don't even encourage their children to study. A lot of them are illiterate, and, you know, that in itself
is very difficult.
So what
do kids do all day but get into trouble, most likely?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, even the parents, too, they're, you know, I think their lives are kind of the same way. Again, it's been, you know, they've kind of come out of a nomadic kind of culture where, mm-hmm. you know, they've just been kind of wandering, and I think built into that is, you know, they don't have regular jobs. They usually do itinerant work where they're, like a lot of them that we've seen, their job is to go scrounging in the junkyards. And, you know, they're just salvaging. Right. And that's, you know, they make a little bit of money collecting some, you know, enough metal to bring to the recycler and, you know, get a few dollars to live. And, you know, they've got a lot of good qualities, too. I mean, they've got a lot of inherent character that I think if you just watch them and you look at them and you talk to them and say, boy, you know, life wouldn't have to be this hard for you.
If only there was some help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is the place to start. Now, I mean, because they need, it's not just structure, but it's also understanding things like, actually, now it's not your job to be lazy or to just go to a junkyard. No, it's to subdue the land.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's get this under control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fruit of that is just better living the more that you can get the thorns and thistles under control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a way to start with it, because these kids that grow up in chaos, what do you think they, when they start having kids, what happens?
Yeah,
more
same thing.
Chaos.
It's a cycle.
And just
yeah.
the same
so,
thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you go to these places and... You know, I don't know that this is a fair comparison, but I think when people think about, for instance, in Africa, we've seen enough of those images where people are starving and they're hurting. Well, this is kind of the Eastern European version of that.
It is.
It is. It's just a different zip code, but these people are struggling, and you guys come in with the Tomorrow Clubs, and you round up these kids, and they come like nobody's business, don't they?
Just now the foundation is being built for the work there in Romania, Ukraine, and Hungary with the Roma people or the Gypsies. And it's so exciting to see. We only have two clubs, like, for example, in Hungary right now. But they desperately need this ministry. We're planning on doing 4 English camps this summer in Hungary. And I believe that Tomorrow Clubs are going to spread like wildfire once the word gets out, because they have a desperate need for it, especially with those Gypsy people. And this has been our prayer all along, ever since we first started working in Romania, and then it spread into Hungary and in the western part of Ukraine, where there's a lot of Roma people. So just like to ask everybody to please pray about that outreach there, because they so desperately need the gospel.
You know, I don't think it's fair to leave that subject to without saying that, you know, this is a group of people that nobody wants to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest disadvantages that they have is that, you know, in people that we've talked to, you know, even in surrounding communities, even the Christians in surrounding communities. Now, it's not fair to say that they don't care, but basically people don't want, they're outcasts that people do not want to work with the Roma.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. We don't understand enough. We see racial issues. I think they all pale in comparison.
Yeah.
To the attitude of most Eastern Europeans toward the Roma people. They are just the bottom of the shoe.
Right. And the kids feel that in the school, and they got so many things working against them. And I we're just amazed at how God seems to always be bringing us into communities like that where other people just aren't going. So,
But you guys, you're doing a great work. And let me encourage everybody, go to tomorrowclubs.org. And look for different countries, and then go YouTubing. Go see the faces of the people from those countries. And if there's a certain country, a certain region, where you go, you know what, we'd love to help there. I always go back to those, I don't know why, the Roma people in that region, just my heart breaks for them. Mm-hmm. And so go look around, and maybe there's a region where your heart breaks, and then you could support a Tomorrow Club, and it makes a difference. 8 kids, sometimes 20 kids, a couple dozen kids start showing up, and it starts to change families. Yep. Churches start to get strengthened because they're dying over there, and communities change. God is glorified. The gospel is preached. And I have to toss this in, too. For the cost, I got to tell you something. What you guys do is mind-boggling. So my encouragement, please go to find out about a Tomorrow Club, perhaps that really you would like to support and see a difference made somewhere in these 9 different countries. Pray for the kids. You'll get updates on them. Not as fancy as some ministries, but you get heartfelt updates on what is happening with your Tomorrow Club. And that is a great thing for you and your family to do and to be praying for. All right, Marty's. We love you to pieces, and we're very grateful for what you do. Merry Christmas to y'all. Any closing thoughts for us?
Thank you so much to all our listeners out there. We are so grateful. There's just no words to describe it. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. And just wanted to say that to be watching for your Tomorrow Club's Christmas card, because these were actually colored by the kids in Ukraine. And the kids over there were so thrilled that we included them. In the Christmas cards, they were like, thank you for remembering us and for allowing us to be a part of thanking the people who help us. Is that about the sweetest thing you ever heard? I mean, wait
it's
till you get your card.
It's the most backward American thing I've ever... Normally with the kids, it's like, I have got a game to play.
Oh,
do I
no.
have to... Over there, they're
they
thrilled
were
to
like,
pieces
thank
to send
you for,
thank you.
Thank you for including us. So watch for your cards. Please. They're absolutely beautiful and colored with the precious little hands of those Ukrainian kids.
Yeah. Merry Christmas and thank you
Merry
to you all.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We are incredibly grateful.
TomorrowClubs.org. Until next time, go serve your King.